Oh, the gospel will overcome in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Well, Mary, we're talking about different things that are happening in our culture as usual. And there's a sense in which I'm reminded of a phrase that I often use, the American playground. I'm not saying I coined it or anything. Maybe I got it from somewhere else. I don't know, but I've used it for a long, long time to refer to our culture. You know what I'm saying when I say the American playground?
Well, I imagine we're mostly used to playing, leisure.
Well, of course.
Versus that's, other places.
That's our culture. Mm-hmm. Everything's about what you just said, pleasure, leisure, entertainment. It's like one big playground here in America. It really is. I mean, you got to go to work a little bit, but basically you go to work so you can get back to the playground. In fact, work is kind of a nuisance.
I was going to say, or the couch ground, but
well,
yeah.
Still, but well, whether your thing is watching TV, whether it's video games, whether it's eating out in restaurants, whether it's going to the beach or the amusement park, it's just one big happy playground.
Now, there are always exceptions to that, but
well, sure.
The general rule.
But that's our culture. Carl Truman puts it this way, lost in Xanadu. This is why I bring up the playground. Came across this a couple of days ago. He says, life in the pleasure dome makes the church's task incalculably difficult. Now, I think that's true. I think he's onto something, but obviously, I don't think we face an impossibility, but let's just talk about it for just a few minutes. We're going to talk a little bit about worldview. We're going to see what the scriptures have to say. But he's talking about our culture, and you mentioned video games, for example, and he says, we all know there's a problem out there. He says, but the problem is much deeper than video game and porn-addicted young men. These addictions are simply symptoms, albeit very obvious ones, of the moral and cultural bankruptcy of our present age. Thus, unless we address the deeper issues, the elephant in the room, we will get nowhere. And herein lies the problem. What do you do when the elephant in the room is the room itself? You understand what he's saying? What do you do when the elephant in the room is the room itself?
Sounds like you're trapped.
You are trapped. You know what I thought about when I read that little line?
No.
I thought about Plato's cave.
Oh, yes.
You remember the philosopher Plato? We're not going to go down that road. But
I took, philosophy 101.
Oh, sure.
I remember that.
Sure. Most people took philosophy 101, so we all know about the cave. You're born and raised in the cave. All you know about is the cave. There's a big, bold world out there, but, you know, you don't want anything to do with it because all you know is the cave. And you don't realize you're trapped in a cave because you're in a cave. Basically, I mean, obviously we could get into more detail, but I'm just simply saying. So here's what Truman says. He says, neither video games nor porn nor idleness are the problem. The problem is that entertainment is not simply a part of our world. It is arguably the dominant essence of our world.
Wow, that's sad.
Well, it is sad, but it's true, isn't it? This is what I mean when I talk about the American playground. It's just that we have things to do. It's not just that there are a number of activities from which we can choose. It's not just that, as Truman says, that entertainment is not simply part of our world. It is the sum and total of our world. It is the essence of our world. It's the summum bonum of our world. It's the quintessential dynamic of our world. I could go on and on like a preacher. But I won't. In other words, we're in the entertainment park, we're in the amusement park, and we don't realize it, and we love it. Now, look, I'm part and parcel of this culture. I understand that, so there's a very real sense in which I'm influenced by this, playground mentality just like anyone else. But let's move on just a little bit. Here's what Truman, I just want to quote Truman a little bit, then obviously we're going to kick it around a little bit as well. But he says, among other things, he says, we have an economy that is significantly dependent upon the production and consumption of entertainment. A society where men who play children's playground games are lionized and paid more than the president.
That's true.
It's absolutely true.
You know, and us as we coach athletics, and we've seen the work ethic dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. But everybody wants to go to the big state meet. But you know, there's the ones that want to work are few and far between.
Well, that's true, and that's certainly an issue. It's a different issue than, you know, what we're really getting at. But it's true
because work is not play.
Well, right. Well, yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. So, yeah, forgive me for misunderstanding your point. Your point is that even in the minds of the young persons of our culture, what you have to work for and what is typically deemed to be work, they have redefined it as play. If we're going to work at it, we're going to play at it. But then again, if you just play at it, you're not going to be successful. But Truman's point, of course, is, look at me. I mean, I'm counting down the days for football. Love to watch football. College pros, love it all. Can't wait. As you pointed out in a conversation recently,
you're even watching the reruns.
That's right.
Because it's August and you're like, where's football?
There's nothing on. I'm watching, you know, now we don't spend time in front of the TV all the time.
No, not often. And you don't watch it that often.
But when I do sit down, that's what I want to see. And so I'm watching the top 25 games from this past season. They're playing it on, I don't know, some sport. I guess it's ESPN. I don't know. So, you know, I figure I want to contribute to all of that. But here's the thing. He says we basically live in a world where technology is not simply a tool, but one of the structuring principles of our very existence and our ways of life, right down to the most mundane details. Ours is an era in which teleology, now that's end game, goal, raison d'etre, all right? Ours is an era in which teleology has been collapsed into a perpetually present singularity. Now, I'm not going to finish the sentence, but basically,
this could be like a novel.
Well, it could. But basically, his point is that we live for the experience. We live for the moment. It's all about the entertainment. It's all about the technology that provides our entertainment. And I want you to think about a couple of phrases. That first phrase that we mentioned a few moments ago, the essence of our world, the dominant essence of our world. That's what entertainment is. That's the room. That's the cave. He also uses this term, it is one of the structuring principles of our very existence and our ways of life. So structuring principles. I want you to remember that phrase as well. So obviously the church needs to break free with entertainment.
And we need the room?
Yep, we need to get out of the room. We need to break the chains, get out of the cave. Get out of the cave, get out of the room. That's exactly right. Get out of the amusement park. Need to get out of Six Flags. Carowinds, wherever you go. Not that entertainment is always evil all the time. Not that we can't engage and be entertained from time to time. But when it's the essence of your existence, that's the problem. And that's our culture. Now we're coming to a point. We're not just here derailing or decrying entertainment. So just hang with me for just a moment or two, okay?
All right.
So we got to break free. We got to offer true meaning, right? We got to offer meaning. But how do we do this? Carl Truman says it's not really that obvious as to how we do that. In fact, he says it's hard to conceptualize what the possibility of such a break might look like in practice, for this is no cosmetic change which is being proposed. Now listen to what he's saying. He's not putting lipstick on a pig here. Churches cannot accomplish what we're trying to do, you know, break free from the entertainment cave. churches cannot accomplish it by, say, simply abolishing praise bands and reinstating Renaissance polyphony and classical liturgy. These might themselves be the entertainment of the highbrow aesthete.
I agree with that.
That's exactly right. You can be entertained by pop music. You can be entertained by Handel. You certainly can.
Yes. Snobbish entertainment.
Well, sure.
As some would say.
Well, and I'm not saying that it is in and of itself, but I'm just saying you can be the snob, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got the praise band snobs that
don't go anywhere. Oh, yeah. You've got the praise band snobs, and then you got the classical music snobs.
Yeah.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
It's still, and this is what I have to be happy.
Yeah, we got the hipsters of the world. You know, we got the praise and worship folk of the world. You know, is it Jan and Dean or Dean and Dean? I don't know who it is. Horton, I don't know who. The Canadian, I mean, anyway.
I have no idea, but.
Dino.
No, not
Dino. Who is it? What's that guy that used to do? I don't even know.
But we know what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about.
Everybody's got their own brand of.
And then you got the Winchesters of the world. And I'm not referring to the rifle.
That's all I could think of.
I'm referring to the Charles Emerson Winchesters of the world.
Okay.
And that's a cultural reference. Not going to clue you in on it. You got to Google that if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
But that's the reality. You're absolutely right is the point I'm trying to make. But Truman says this, that's not the issue. It's not just a matter of changing the style of our music, nor can preachers simply ditch the jokes and focus stern-faced upon the cross. It is, after all, possible to enjoy good oratory for the mere fact that it is good oratory, regardless of content. That's exactly right. So here's the deal. If entertainment is the very essence of our social existence today, then we as the church are facing something very different than we've been facing, something very different than we've been battling, at least on a lot of fronts. One of the things that we battle, and I'm just sort of summarizing here, one of the things that we battle as apologists, as evangelists, as preachers, as theologians, as just coffee shop witnesses, one of the things that we battle is meaninglessness. In other words, we talk to folk in our culture. Everybody's searching for meaning. Meaning is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Meaning is found only in God. And a lot of folk, of course, try to find meaning in other things. And we know that they're having to borrow from the Christian worldview in order to find meaning in anything if they don't believe in God. And on we could go. We've talked about this before. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. What if you come upon people who don't really care about the philosophical implications of what you're talking about? They are...
Wait a minute. What if you come upon...
Well,
there's very few that come... to care, yeah.
I understand. And that's the point.
Okay.
I was just going to explain it by way of a question. This is our entire culture is what I was going to come to.
All right.
At least 90% of it. But what if you come upon someone who doesn't care about the philosophical questions, that he finds very much meaning in what he does? Thank you very much. He's not worried about anything else. In other words, he finds meaning in the moment. In other words, all that he's interested in is the video game.
Riding the biggest roller coaster.
Riding the big roller coaster. Or, you know, having the perfect latte. Or, you know, the perfect date. Or the magazine. Whatever. He finds meaning in the moment. He finds meaning in his fantasies. He finds meaning in the very entertainment in which he is engaged. He's not interested in anything else. Doesn't need God, doesn't care about God, doesn't feel hopeless, doesn't feel helpless. Why? Because he's got everything he wants right here. He's entertained. Right?
It sounds like the Screwtape Letters. One of Satan's ploys.
Yeah.
Keep him entertained so he won't even think about God.
That's right. And so the question is, how can the church assert the truth of the gospel, as Carl Truman puts it, an exclusive truth which makes demands in the present because of promises which will be fulfilled only in the future? How do we assert the truth of the gospel, this thing that that's going to put some demands on your life for future glory when you are consumed with all of these options and all of the entertainment and instant gratification. And see, here's the deal. And Truman's going down this road. This is a road that I like to go down often myself. But he says, look, if you just take a look at the advertising for the most numerically successful and conservative evangelical conferences, or I'll add churches, if you just look at their advertising, it indicates the importance of the aesthetics of this present age in marketing. Now think about that little phrase, this present age, as well, by the way. But think about it. The importance of the aesthetics of this present age in marketing, even for a serious exclusive faith. We got a little brochure in the mail the other day. Very slick. Very well done. It's something that our son would do and appreciate. And you know, at one level, you're going to do something, you might as well do it well, right? The graphics were great. The pictures were great. But it was from a large church in our area. But the message on it, new programs, new building, new space, same God. And you look at the ad copy, and it was all about come and check out our new space.
New stuff.
Our new stuff. You're going to love
it. Bored with the old stuff.
That's
we got
right.
New stuff.
That's right. Come and check it out. And the kids, oh, they're going to have so much fun. Fun, fun, fun. That was the message. Entertainment. That's their message. Now, this is a conservative, Bible-believing, evangelical church. This is a good church. I'm not saying it's not a good church. This is the point, though. This is the point. And so Truman asks this question, can we use such methods to still claim that something crucial has not already been conceded from the outset? Have we not already conceded something vitally important when we go down that road? That's what he's asking. And then, of course, some will say, well, if we don't do this, if we don't have the slick, attractive marketing, the cool branding, the celebrities of the evangelical subculture, then nobody will come, right? I mean, how many times have we heard that? And that's what Carl Truman says. He says, I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
I want to laugh and say, in this culture, it's basically true, though.
Well, sure.
Except that God have his elect.
Well, sure. But when you say, unless we do this, nobody will come, I mean, that's why we do it. It makes perfect sense, right? That's what brings the folk in. He says, but the fact that it makes perfect sense, that yes, we know that such an approach is culturally wise and necessary, it is that fact that is so significant, for it indicates that we are all now trapped inside the stately pleasure dome. We're trapped inside the amusement park. The room, the cave. That's what he's saying, and he's absolutely right. So, here's what he says. I'm going to skip through. We've quoted him enough, but he says because this is the important part, at least from where Carl Truman is coming from. Because he doesn't broach an answer. He doesn't have the answer, and I understand. But he says we clearly need a reformation as dramatic, if not more dramatic than that of the 16th century. You know, this changed the whole world forever, the Reformation of the 16th century. Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, the whole bit. So he goes on, how that Reformation can be accomplished and what forms it must take are far from obvious at this moment in time. But it has to start with a wholesale critique of the anti-culture of immediacy in which we live, and that must include acknowledgement that we ourselves, individually and corporately, deeply embedded in the very essence of this present age. And we are ourselves deeply embedded in the very essence of this present age. He's right. We're trapped in a very real sense. Now, obviously, you know, this is seminal, and so it's okay. Let's recognize the problem. Now let's put our heads together. Let's try to figure out what's going on. And I think a start is recounting some of those phrases that I mentioned to you a moment ago. The essence of our existence, the superstructure or the structures of our existence, this present age, the essence of this present age. Those are things that remind me of certain phrases that I read about in Scripture. Phrases like this present age. Phrases like the structures of this present age. There's a Greek word, stoikeion. That's just a noun form. You know, we could go verb form, etc. Everybody, you know, who understands Greek or English understands that, but stoikeion. And essentially, it refers to the element. Sometimes, well, let me just put it this way. In the New Testament, it's translated elements. So the elements of this world. Sometimes it's translated basic principles. Sometimes it's translated structures. It refers to the ABCs of something. It refers to the building blocks of something. It refers to the foundations of something. It refers to the essence of something. So this is exactly what Carl Truman is talking about. The ABCs of our culture, the structure of our culture, the elements of our culture, those things that make our culture what it is, one of those ABCs, one of those building blocks, one of those foundational piers is this whole issue of the entertainment part in which we find ourselves, the pleasure dome, as he puts it, the playground that we call America. It's one of the stoikeion of our culture. Now here's the Apostle Paul. And he uses this word a number of times. Peter uses it a couple of times as well. The author through the Hebrews uses this word. But we're just going to look at Paul for the moment. Galatians 4:3, even so we, when we were children, and by the way, if you look at that in context, it refers to the fact when we were unbelievers. So even when we were unbelievers, we were in bondage under the stoikeion of the world. Under the elements of the world, the principles of the world, the building blocks of the world. Make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
He says in Galatians 4:9, but now after you have known God, see, after you came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, or rather are known by God, and he's getting on to them because they're going back to one of the structures of this world, which is self-righteousness. And he says, after you've known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements, the weak and beggarly stoikeion, to which you desire again to be in bondage? So they wanted to be in bondage to self-righteousness. There are a lot of folk who are in bondage to that. But at the same time, we can be in bondage. We are in bondage. Unbelievers are certainly in bondage to essentially all of the stoikeion of this world. But even believers, we can somehow place ourselves in bondage to certain stoikeion of this world. And it seems to me that the church, and this is the point that Carl Truman is making, it seems to me that the church somehow, some way, is in bondage to the entertainment, to the pleasure dome element of this culture. How can that be? Paul says. What are you thinking? Paul says, right?
Okay.
He warns the Colossians of the same dynamic. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy. Now he's talking about man's philosophy, worldly philosophy. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to, here it is, the basic principles of the world, the stoikeion of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't let anyone trap you, kidnap you, by the traditions of men and the basic principles of this world. A few verses later, he says, therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to it? He uses the term regulations. They had a problem not only with self-righteousness, but false worship. They were influenced by Jewish legalism on the one hand. They were influenced by incipient Gnosticism on the other. They were influenced by pagan worship on the other. I mean, we'd go on and on, just like we're influenced by so many things in our culture. It seems to me, you know, Darrell Miller talks about this a lot, the Francis Schaeffer disciple.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about this when we're talking about missions, for example. He says, you go to other cultures, you might be talking about mission / evangelism. At the same time, you're talking about relief. You're talking about helping people. You're talking about a holistic gospel, helping people come to know Christ and helping people become disciples of Christ. You know, making disciples, teaching them to obey everything the Lord Jesus has commanded us. And he talks about the fact that when you go to cultures, for example, that are animistic, they're economically deficient because of their worldview. They don't think, for example, that you can change things. They don't think that you can make things better. They feel as if they're born into a particular, for lack of a better word, at the moment I'm gonna borrow from Hinduism, I guess, or maybe the Indian culture, we'll put it that way. You're born into a particular state, a particular caste, and you're gonna remain there forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're subject to the fates. You're subject to demonic spirits. You know, you're subject to everything under the sun. You're always a victim. And, you know, you can't improve your lot in life. Why bother? Why go to work? Why worry about economics? Why plant a garden? Why, you know, be aesthetically inclined? On and on we could go. And this is part of the stoichion of an animistic culture. This is part of the basic principles, the building blocks of an animistic culture. And when we bring the gospel to bear, people come to know Christ, they get a different view of God, they get a different view of spirituality, they get a different view of themselves, their sin, etc. And then, of course, they get a different view of creation. They get a different view of our purpose. They get a different view of work. Here we are in our culture, as we said a moment ago, we're working for the weekend. Work is bad. Well, the Bible says work is good. Now, there's toil associated with work because of the fall, because of the curse after the fall. But nevertheless, work is good. Work brings joy as well as toil. We need to work to be fulfilled. God works. And so, in missions, the whole goal is to bring the gospel to bear, to make disciples, and you're trying to break through a totally different worldview, and you don't do it. The Holy Spirit has to do it. But you're reordering the principles, the basic elements to which people subscribe in their thinking. Now, how's that any different than what we need to do in our culture? And how's the answer any different? Is it still not the gospel? I know Carl Truman knows that. And he's trying to think a little bit deep. He's trying to get practical. But is that not the answer?
That's the answer, yes. But he's trying to also reach the church, wake them up.
That's
come
right.
Out of the cave.
The church is trapped in the pleasure dome, and that's part of the problem. But part of the problem is reaching this culture as well.
That's true.
But the church has got to wake up.
With the church something is, more true than the cave.
Yeah.
The pleasure dome.
Yeah, the church has got to get off that roller coaster, get in the car, and go home sometime. Huh? It's getting dark out here. They're shooting the fireworks. We got to go. That's enough cotton candy.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.